Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it. Welcome, pet parents. I hope everybody is well. I hope your pups are well, and I hope they're sat with you right now, getting comfy and living their best life, which I am sure they are. So I know that if you are here, it's because you are curious in one way, either about pet food, curious about what I have to say about pet food, curious about what you might be missing about those all too familiar little dried biscuits. And so firstly, I want to thank you for taking time out of your evening tonight to join me on this webinar. I do love doing these live events for everybody, and I like to connect with people who are sort of in the same mindset as me and on the same journey, or basically just looking for help with nutrition. So I do appreciate you taking the time out. So the bulk of the webinar will be obviously a presentation and a talk by me, and then there will be a question and answer section at the end if you do have any questions. So the talk will last somewhere between 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how much I babble. And we all know that I can babble quite a lot, and how many questions we get at the end. So if you want to take notes, feel free. Or if not, just listen and enjoy. So what's in store? Well, today we're basically just going to be talking about kibble. And I'm not going to lie, it's not looking very good for kibble in this presentation. But we are going to look at, we're going to have a closer look at kibble and how it's made and the things that are in it and some of the byproducts that happen during the processing. And then we're going to look at species appropriate nutrition, which is obviously foods that are biologically appropriate for dogs. We're going to look at the true costs in terms of health and in terms of monetary value, especially with when compared to fresh foods. And we're going to look at some of the pros and cons about feeding kibble. And then we're going to look at how to find a good kibble towards the end of the presentation. So yeah, it's all about kibble. So first I want to explain a little bit about how kibble is made. Now, if you're already on an intense fresh food journey, which if you are a raw feeder, I am sure that you already know, but kibble is, and it's important for you to know that when I say kibble at this point, I am talking about the rendered kibbles, which is the kibbles that are made with meat meals and bone meals and synthetic nutrients. So it's usually your big well-known brands and supermarket varieties. So that's what I'm referring to here. I'm not referring to the companies that go above and beyond to get fresh British ingredients, or they use whole foods in all of their recipes, or they're cold pressed or freeze dried. They are a different kettle of fish. So it's just the rendered products that I'm talking about in this presentation. So there are several components of how kibble is made, and each involves a high heat process, which means that before your dog actually eats the kibble, the food has been cooked a number of times, and it's usually around four or five. And within this, there is, you know, a big mix of synthetic vitamins and minerals, which are put into the ingredient mix because there's not actually that many nutrients in the ingredients themselves. Now, so the ingredients are first weighed out and mixed together, and these will typically be your meat meal, your bone meal, your, you know, your beet pulp and corn meal, all that kind of thing. They're all mixed together, including the synthetic vitamins and minerals. And then water and steam are added to these to create a dough. The dough then enters an extruder, which is sort of like just a big machine. And there it's exposed to high pressure, which cooks it. And this is usually around 150 degrees. The cooked dough is then pushed through a die plate, which cuts it into those small kibble-like shapes that we see. And then when this comes out, it's still soft and spongy, so it goes through a dryer to remove the moisture. But this can be anywhere, you know, up to 200 degrees. So it's not like a dehydrator you'd have at home where you use it on 60 degrees on a low setting. It is still a high heat process. And then after this, most are coated with fats to make them more appealing to dogs to eat, because apparently if they didn't spray the fats on, no dog would want to eat it. And then after that, the kibble is cooled down and packaged up, ready to be sent out to the stores. So that in a nutshell is how it's made. Now, when you think about this, this happens in a rendering plant. And what also happens in a rendering plant is that's where the meat meal is made. Now, meat meal is typically made up of animal carcasses, which, you know, can sometimes still have their ID tags on and other bits and pieces. And they're literally just all put into a big vat and basically cooked into like a big soup. And then they are dried and turned into the meal. So this all happens at these rendering plants, and basically that's where the ingredients come from. Now, to have a closer look at the ingredients, there is nothing fresh about processed food. Even some pet foods that claim to have fresh ingredients in them, the ingredients have already been processed before they end up in pet food. So they do use feed grade materials, which is not food grade. It's a difference. Like, they wouldn't be available on the human market. They do contain controversial ingredients such as molds, pesticide residues, sodium pentobarbital, which is an anesthesia drug used in pets. They have a high carb content. They have chemical preservatives, colors, dyes, and flavors. They have the synthetic vitamin and mineral mixes. They also include toxins, starches, sugars, and salts, and the dirty dozen. Now, meat meal is actually more than likely bone meal, and the food only has to have 4% of the protein in it to call it beef, for instance. So this is, you know, how pet food companies get around saying they have a beef kibble, when really they can just contain 4% beef, and that beef can be meat meal rather than, you know, ground beef as what you would think of when you think of beef, and probably what is on the front of the packet. And pet food companies can now even list meat meal as dehydrated meat. So before, you would have seen the ingredient on the back of the packet as meat meal or meat and bone meal. They can actually call it dehydrated beef. So I think now there's going to be more confusion between pet parents, because they might look at the back of a packet and think, it's dehydrated beef, it's not meat meal, and it's the same ingredient really, which is very, very misleading and very, very naughty. So again, the feed grade means they're not for human consumption, and they're usually from the human waste sector. So this can be like the hulls of shells, and the pulps left over from human food processing, such as the beet pulp and the soybean meal, and also lots of rancid fats from restaurants. So the fat waste from restaurants goes to these rendering plants, and they are used in the pet food, which obviously, you know, cooked fat just wreaks havoc and causes so much inflammation, and it is, you know, it's a cause of pancreatitis in dogs. So it is something we really, really want to avoid feeding to our pets. The animals can still be with their ID tags on. They can be dead, diseased, decaying. That's particularly in the USA. I think it's a bit better over here. And there was a study last year that found dog DNA in two different pet foods in America, which obviously means that dog carcasses had been used in the pet food. It never disclosed which pet food it was. But if you are interested in reading that study, contact me afterwards and I will send you a link. It is very, very disturbing. So the cheap ingredients, they do use the cheapest of the cheaps. They have a very high carb content, and they're low quality carbohydrates. They're usually like the waste pieces of carbs and grains that humans don't use in their food. And these grains and things as well, these are usually the parts of the grains that have been either, you know, the waste products, or they're not deemed safe for human consumption. So they get put aside to be used in pet foods. And what can happen is when they're doing the checks, they'll look all right on the top and they'll say, yeah, we can use those. But underneath, they've already started going moldy and started developing toxins, which has been, you know, it has been the reason for some recalls of pet foods in the past. But these are all just chucked into the vat anyway and put in the pet food. Another thing with the carb content is that it's carbs that raise insulin. This is your blood sugar spikes. And this can lead to inflammatory health issues like obesity. Another chemical found in kibble is glyphosate. Now, I'm pretty sure you've probably heard about glyphosate because I think nearly everybody's talking about it at the moment. But essentially, it is it's something people use in the gardens. It's a weed killer. It's known to be an ingredient in Roundup, and it is predominantly found in pet food. And there was a study that found that dogs have 32 times more glyphosate in their system than humans do, and it is a major contributor to leaky gut as well. So if you do have a dog that has a bad gut and you are feeding them cheap kibbles, this could be a factor to consider. Another unfortunate substance that is found in pet food are mycotoxins. Now, you might have heard of mycotoxins before. These are toxic chemical substances that are naturally produced by fungi. So this can be on the molds of the grains. And in particular, this is aflatoxins, which is a type of mycotoxin and is responsible for more than 90% of pet food recalls. And this particular mycotoxin is responsible for and linked to kidney failure, liver failure, and cancer in cats and dogs. If you do want more information about pet food recalls, you can easily find this information online. If you go to the Truth About Pet Food website, then everything is on there. It's Susan Thixon's website. She has dedicated her life to investigating pet food companies and looking at their ingredients and their practices. And all the recalls are listed on her website. It's a really, really good source of information if you do want to know more about that. Pet food grains can also be stored outside. So they don't have to store them inside, away from the elements. They can be stored outside, which is unlike human foods, because for some reason, because it's for cats and dogs, it doesn't seem to be that important, which doesn't make sense. But this also means that a lot of them can be moulded before they go through the manufacturing process because they have not been protected like they would have been in the human food chain. I hope you've enjoyed this little clip from the True Cost of Kibble webinar this morning. If you do want to listen or watch the full episode, then head over to the show notes and click the link, which will take you to our Be More Dog Nutrition Buddy app. You don't need to have a membership, you just need to sign up for a free account to listen. Hopefully see you soon. Say hi to your pups from me. Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademedoitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. And my guests express our own views, thoughts, and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products, or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian, and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.